Welcome to the Radius Project, what happens when we explore the edges, paths, and landmarks of a city and meet our neighbors.
My favorite thing of being in Hartford is like people here. Some of them are really nice and they always help each other. When we came here, there's like we lost in an airport. We're like we don't know where to go, who to ask, but there's two girls. They bring us and they help us all the way to our home.
And the bakery, the restaurants, and everything, the walking distance. I got two bus lines, actually three bus lines. And everything is very convenient. And I've been living here since 1977.
The good thing it is for the bakery is when you in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning when I come to open the bakery special holidays, I see you know, 40, 50 people outside waiting in line to get in. And that's my joy of the day, you know.
We're finding unexpected stories close to spots you might already know, mapping Hartford, Connecticut in a new way. I'm Jamil Ragland.
And I'm Julia Pastel. Jamil and I both live in Hartford. He lives in the North End, and I live south of downtown.
In each episode, we look at a well-known landmark and then explore the half-mile radius around it. There are a few places in Hartford that you could call institutions, places that have been around for a long time. And if you visit Hartford and don't step into them, you're crazy.
One of those is Mazzucato's Bakery on Franklin Ave. That's our next radius point in the south end of Hartford, what used to be known as Little Italy. It's so popular, in fact, that it's the first stop people make when they're home for the holidays.
I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut, born and raised here in Franklin Avenue, Little Italy. And I currently live in Carolina Beach, North Carolina. And I've just driven 14 hours. We are exhausted. And one of my first stops, as always, is right here at Mazzucato's Bakery. Because no place on earth makes cookies or any baked goods like Mazzucato's.
We came to visit relatives. We live in the south. And we used to live here many years ago. And came to same old place, Mazzucato de Pasquale. Well, it looks like a very busy place, very clean. It has a lot of variety of pastries, and you know, you get salt items as well as sweet items and traditional items.
Oh, we love going here. This is our Sunday morning treat. We come, get a piece of pizza, some goodies, some bread for dinner, and then we stock up for the week. I love that it is like a home-feeling bakery, great Italian food. My husband's Italian, so he knows and he loves these cookies. So this is our place to go.
People were stocking up on breads, pizza, and cannoli. The room immediately envelops you. The smells, the cakes everywhere, cookies, and cappuccino.
And the American people, you know, believe or not, they learn, you know, and they pronounce very well, even if they're not Italian.
So every American can pronounce cannoli?
Yes, every American pronounce cannoli, yes. Cannoli, cappuccino.
That's Gino Mazzucato. He started the bakery in 1973. He came to America 5 years earlier from Sicily.
This was in March, you know. Maybe I remember the day, March 5th. It was 5 March, you know, 1968.
He's seen generations of customers come and go. His kids grew up at the shop. They lived upstairs for 20 years.
I had to do something. I had to make a living, so that's what I know. I know the bakery, and I decided to open a bakery, you know. And the people that like us, you know, and became, you know, well-known name, you know, Mazzucato. We cater to the customer, to the people, you know. We've been friendly. We've been very helpful and respectful. That's why, you know, we're over here today.
And what used to be a mostly Italian neighborhood is now much more diverse. But that's no matter to Gino.
Neighborhood, you know, it's you know, always been changing. Not the first time it changed, because the Italian neighborhood used to be in front of the street and then become a Franklin Avenue. Now, you know, people, they're moving to Wethersfield, Rock Hill, you know, and down there. We have new people that come in. What is they good to, you know? They come and they frequent the bakery, you know, and still we got all the old customers, the new customers, you know. It's, you know, changing. Immigration change the people, you know. Most people, they like sweet. And they come and they spend a dollar, or they spend a dollar, it's all green, you know. It's no matter what it is, the dollar, they're the same, you know.
We get calls or emails from customers. I have customers that live on the tundra, so it's interesting because you get to ask them, what is that like? If UPS delivers, we ship it.
Gino's daughter, Gina, manages the place. Her two brothers are also involved, running their two other locations. They all grew up hanging out in the shop.
As children, we, of course, wanted to do what all the older people were doing, so we worked, quote-unquote. So sometimes the task was to stick cherries on cookies, and of course it would be a competition. My parents would scrub us down like doctors, you know, cover us in aprons, stand us on a bucket, and we'd be in charge of putting cherries on cookies. And of course, they would see who could do it the most perfect and the fastest, so of course the cookies came out perfect. The little competition between my brothers has not yet stopped.
How many cakes do you guys make a week or a year? There's just cakes everywhere in here right now.
Well, we don't count, and we like to make as many as possible. So we never say no. We just work harder to get them all done. But depending on the season, depending which season and on the season, we make different occasion cakes. We can't count. Lots of cakes.
And one of the best parts of the job is that she gets to spend a lot of time with her dad.
Working with my dad is very nice. It's great because I get to spend time with him, which normally I would not see him so much, and I'd have to make a point to see him where I see him daily. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because he has lots of experience and insight, so he can guide us. Everyone is happy. Everyone is very happy when they come in, so it's nice. It's fun to come to work. And it's nice to interact with our customers because for the most part, they're very, very happy when they come in or they're excited or they're having a treat or they're planning a special occasion. And so that's nice.
So we have like three major Italian, South End Bakery, Mazzucato, and Modern. But that's where Gino started. But I think they're very like people go and visit there. Even in the evenings up until 7 o'clock, or they go down weekends, they're open, but Mazzucato isn't. He's open all the time.
Alphonse Murata has been a South End resident since 1949. He's been involved in city and state politics, and he's president of the South Hartford Merchants Association. He knows everyone in town, and he's got a story for everything, including his name.
If you look at my name, it's like on my birth certificate and everything, it says Alphonse. Well, when I was born at St. Francis Hospital, my mother didn't understand English. She hadn't even gone to night school. My father did, but she didn't. Well, they spelled it like French, Alphonse, A-L-P-H-O-N-S-E. So I kept it. People says, oh, you should get it changed to Alfonso. It's supposed to be, where the hell did you get a P-H? You know, they don't have that in Italy. You know, it's an F. And I said, well, I'll just say Alphonse in the middle. I'll make it Al. So I told everybody, call me Al. But I kept it on my birth certificate, on my Social Security and everything. It says Alphonse.
We met him at First and Last Bakery. He filled every second with passionate, enthusiastic stories about the city. He has a million. He ran track and cross country at Bulkley High, and he actually tried to burn the Bulkley school symbol into New Britain's football field. He shined shoes as a teenager, and then he went to night school to become an engineer for the city. He spent most of his life living in the South End, working in elected positions for the city and the state.
And I was on the city council deputy mayor for 10 years the first time. Then when I got elected, 1990, to state representative, I enjoyed the 4 years there, and then Mayor Mike called me up and says, come back to City Hall. I need your vote. So I went back, and when he retired, after 6 years, I retired. So I did total politics, I was 10-6 for the city second time and 4 for the state. So that's elected office. So it was 20 years elected office.
Wow.
I'm still involved. I'm supposed to be retired, but I love Hartford, and I try to do positive things to help people in Hartford.
His parents emigrated from Italy, and his dad operated a pushcart on Front Street. Well, actually, three pushcarts.
Okay. They were manual. You had to push. And they had iron metal rim, but the spokes on the wheels were like two wooden spokes. I still have like a couple of them in my garage. And I said, Dad, how do you operate three wagons? Nobody used to steal them. One was for fruit, one was for vegetables, and one to go to tobacco warehouses. That was history in the making. He did that for many, many years.
His parents were displaced by the redevelopment in the east end of downtown in 1949. His dad then got a job at the Underwood Typewriter Company, and they bought a house in the South End.
When we bought the house, he planted a fig tree. He got a fig tree from California and from a cousin, because he had fig trees in Italy. So he planted it, and now he still kept the property in the house because I maintained that fig tree.
So do you live in the house where that fig tree is now?
No. In 1960, I bought a house off Franklin Avenue.
So who lives in the house where the fig tree is now?
Well, I have it rented, and one person takes care of the bushes and the grass, and I have to take care of the fig tree. But I have a retired nun. She retired from St. Augustine as a teacher last year. And Sister Claire lives on the second floor, and she maintains the house just like it when my mother and father were there. So I don't charge her a lot of rent. But it's just like if I got rid of it, the fig tree would have been destroyed, and my father's looking down saying that lazy so-and-so let the fig tree die, you know.
Even though the neighborhood has changed a lot since it was primarily made up of Italian immigrants, he seems really excited about the new generations of homeowners here.
At first, people used to say, oh, man, those people are going to come in here. Your neighborhood's going to change. It's going to be bad. You know, they're not going to take care of the homes. They're not going to be interested in maintaining the property. That's not true. We found out working with them, some of them don't speak English that great, and some of them are going to night school. But I think in the last 3 years, there's been a great change. And now people understand, saying, yeah, they opened for the Bosnian, they opened a big mosque across from Carbone's on Franklin Avenue, but they cleaned it up, and they're still fixing it up on the outside and the inside. But showed a lot of improvement instead of the community saying, no, we don't want you, rejecting them. The houses maintain vacancies and then get destroyed. It's been a positive thing. And I think more and more people in the last 2 or 3 years now say, hey, you know, they're a good part of our society.
We want to meet some of those new folks who live in the neighborhood to find out who they are, why they're here, and just more about how the place has changed.
The South End around Mazzucato's is mostly a residential area. The houses there get really decked out for the holidays, so we walked up and knocked on doors with the brightest Christmas lights we could find.
Oh, that worked. Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
My name is Jose Figueroa. Well, we usually like to decorate because it feels us good, you know. It feels like it's Christmas, you know, and Christmas, you know. I love it.
And why did you come to this neighborhood?
Oh, because it's quiet. Yeah. See, the way it is like this, this is the way it is during the day. And that's what I love it. Everybody here is so good. You know, I don't have any complaint. I don't have any complaint. If they need help, like next folks here, if they need help, especially on a snow day, I help them shovel right here. If they need to cut the grass in the summertime, I help them. I help this one here. You know, that's what I do.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Inside or out here?
Wherever works for you.
Come on inside.
All right. Should we take off our shoes?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
No,
no, no.
Hello, girls.
Hi, all.
Juan Lopez Jr., commonly known as Johnny. I call it like a little jewelry box, you know, because all the lights on it, you know. And I do it because I like people smile, you know, and that's enough for me. You know, that's my Christmas gift for me, myself and the public. And usually I got competition from a guy up the street. But I've been doing it for years. I've been here about 6 years now. It was next door. You do the same thing next door. But I bought this house about 6 years ago, and I've been, you know, doing this every year with a little thing here and there. Now it's getting out of hand, you know, but still, you know, I got more lights, but I wasn't going to put them up. I've seen a lot of houses around here that, I mean, they're pretty good. But like I was saying, mine's the best. Yeah, that's the way I see it, you know. Well, it's more diversified now. I mean, before, all my neighbors were Italian. You know, I was the first Puerto Rican in this neighborhood, you know, I say. But now, most of them have retired and moved out. And they're all probably the kids that don't want to take care of the house. They sold the house, you know. So now the neighborhood is, I got everything from Mexicans, Bosnians, Peruvians, a whole lot of Peruvians, Colombians, and of course, Puerto Ricans, you know, Afro-Americans, of course.
And so it's very diversified. It's very mixed, you know. It's not like it used to be, but still it's a good neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, but I speak a little English. My daughter speaks more English. She speaks English. So when you wait...
Yeah,
sure. Okay,
sure.
I'm calling my
All right.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Valerie Allegre, and I live here in Hartford, Connecticut. I go to University of Connecticut in stores. I've lived here for about 9 years when me and my family moved from Peru. Well, my dad came first with his family, and then my mom and I followed along like 6 years, 7 years later. So my dad kind of built a foundation, and then we just kind of kept growing from there. My dad really is very enthusiastic of Christmas, so we have the really colorful lights and like very peculiar shape around this house, just because the house shape itself is very weird, so putting lights around it is very weird, so he kind of had to give it its own shape. And we also have like the new little Christmas tree in the front yard with the snowman. I think like when you walk around Hartford, you need to be very open-minded. There's many things that are said about here. I went to the Hartford Public High School, and now that I'm at UConn, I hear people's opinions and things without me telling them that I go there, just to kind of get like an open mindset of what they're trying to say. And then I mentioned that I'm from there, and they're like, whoa, like, you're different. And I'm just like, no, like, everyone there is different. Everyone in Hartford is different. Just because you hear a few things, you know, there's so many people that live here, and you only hear about 30 stories on the news. So, like, everyone else must be doing something good with their lives. So just be very open-minded. Like, everyone's very nice. And sometimes they don't talk to you because probably don't speak the same language, but, yeah.
At Buckley High School, a few streets over, students speak 23 different languages.
Those different cultures and languages can present challenges, but they're also what bring the kids together. We found out about a program called City Slickers, based out of Buckley, that brings students that are refugees, immigrants, and special needs learners out to a farm to learn practical skills and to connect with other students out of the classroom.
So this year and last year, we had a tremendous influx of applications from new arrivals. This year, our program participants are predominantly students who've arrived from other countries, and a lot of them recently. They're learning English, they're learning culture, the American culture, and by being on the farm, it allows them a really unique opportunity to interact with their peers in a non-academic setting. I can't stress how important that is, because it's not just academic, it helps build their person. It gives them confidence, it makes them feel like they belong somewhere.
That's Gretchen Levitz Kimball, who runs the program. She's got students from places like Haiti, Vietnam, Malaysia, Burma, and Karen refugees in Thailand. We talked to her on the way to the farm.
We have students coming from everywhere, but they try very hard to get involved in every aspect and do as much as they can to get the most out of their education and make their parents proud, but they tend to be on the quiet side. It's very diverse in Hartford, and Buckley is just a reflection of the neighborhoods.
Once we got to Lazy D Ranch, the bus full of students got to work cleaning horse stalls, driving tractors, and raking the ring. The kids who had been so quiet in the halls of the schools were now clumping together in little happy groups, patting the horses and goofing around.
They earn a small paycheck for this work, and on the day we were there, Gwen had also brought them Tasty's Donuts from Hartford for their break. Our producer Jay and I sat down with a few of the students to talk about the farm and about life in Hartford.
My name is Salem, and I'm studying at Buckley High School. I'm 10th grade. On City Slicker, we are with our friends. You know, we are practicing English. We're working hard and got fun over there. That's all. We are cleaning the barns and giving food for horse.
How old were you when you came to the U.S. from Bosnia?
14 years old.
So it has not been very long.
Nah, not very long.
What's the best thing about being in Hartford now?
Oh, like you can get a better education. And now I got a lot of friends in there now. I don't want to move nowhere.
So this is your home now?
Yeah, that's my home now.
My name is Erica. I'm a sophomore. I'm a 16-year-old. I come from Tallinn. Well, I live in Thailand, but we live in like different kind of like camp. I live in like a refugee camp where a lot of people, like some people live in a city, but we live in like in a farm. Well, I was born over there. It's kind of hard for me when I grow up because we don't have that much money. So my parents had to work hard for us to get a school. We had to pay a school. So it's kind of hard for us. So we moved to the United States. Oh, they are Korean. They speak like some people, they speak like different Korean. Some people, they speak Korean, but it's not like it's the same, but it's different song.
Is it different dialects?
Yes. Like me, I can speak like three languages in my language, but it's different for them.
So you can speak three dialects of your own language and English, and you're also learning Spanish.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I like the city's program because like, I like to help the whole, take care of the whole, like as my family. Like we do the stuff to clean the pool and dump off the food, to take care of the horse. So.
You seem very happy for someone who's cleaning a lot of poop.
Yeah, because that's my favorite job in here.
Okay. Hi, my name is Owich Berisi. I'm from Haiti. Well, I come in America in 2013. Oh, my friends call me Dede. I clean the store. It's a beautiful thing when I clean the. I like to clean the store for make the store clean for the house.
Why do you like it so much?
Because in my country I like the animal, but I do that for make the animal so happy. When they start clean, the animal feel happy. Well, I like this program. This program is like, it help us too, but it give us some money. And we learn how to work in this program too.
So you're getting paid today.
Yes.
So what are you going to do with your paycheck?
I pay my phone. And buy some food.
My name is Shafida and I'm in 9th grade. I'm from Malaysia.
What has been the most difficult thing about leaving Malaysia for the U.S.?
The difficult things is I leave everything. My friends, my school, my teachers, and yeah, my cousins. Mm-hmm. And I have 12 cats at my home. So I really miss them so much. I don't really give all of the names, but I give the mama is like I call her like Gungun. It means like snow because she looks like snow, big, fat, and white.
And is this your first year in the City Slickers program?
Yes, this is my first year, and I love it so much because it's really fun, and it's not like we just walk. We have like happy family, and we help each other and talk.
We met up with Shafida Kamal back at her home, just off Franklin Avenue, to meet her family. Here's our producer, Jay Holt, with more of her story.
Shafida is 16. She had just moved to this country, then immediately started her freshman year at Bulkley this fall. At the very beginning, it was rough.
For the first time, I feel so scared. Some of them, they play so hard. It feels like bullies or something. I was so scared. But then there are some friends, they're really nice, bring me everywhere, show me, talk to me, so I feel a bit comfortable now.
At her home, just a few blocks from Bulkley, we met the rest of her family in their living room.
Hi, I'm Roshan. I'm the eldest son in the family.
Hi, I'm Osman, and I'm from Bulkley High School, so I'm 18 years old.
I'm Raja Kamal, the father of my three children, and this is my wife.
My name is Farida.
We are refugees. So, we have come from Malaysia, but actually we are from Burma, Myanmar.
Many ethnic minority groups have been persecuted in Myanmar, also known as Burma, since the military took control of the government in the early 1960s. Conditions are still poor despite the military playing less of a role there in recent years. As of 2014, there were more than 90,000 Burmese refugees living in Malaysia. The Kamals relocated there over 30 years ago, and all the children were born there. The family's been preparing to come to America for years. Roger was a ship captain back in Burma, but in Malaysia he became an English teacher, and his children began learning multiple languages at the age of 4.
I speak Burmese, Malaysian, English, and I'm learning Spanish. Yeah, and Chinese a little bit.
An organization in Malaysia helped the family secure refugee visas to come to the States. And here in Hartford, they've been receiving resettlement services from Catholic Charities.
They arrange everything for us, even the house to stay, the food, and for our transportation, and for our health, everything.
The organization helps about 280 refugee families and individuals resettle in the Hartford area each year and provides a wide variety of services to get them on their feet. The Kamals are settling in well. Shafita has found her family of friends with City Slickers. Osmond is playing soccer at Bulkley. Roshan, who is 19, has found a job in food production in Windsor. Farida Kamal doesn't speak English as well as the rest, so her family translated for her as we spoke. When she thinks about how well her children are doing in this new city.
And we feel very proud for that.
For her, she feels so happy, and she feels like, yeah, so happy. And she feels safe for us.
One desire all the children share has, however, remained unfulfilled. Roshan brought it up first.
I just wanted to see snow. I've never seen snow before.
In its absence, they'd discovered Hartford's closest alternative in late fall, the skating rink at Bushnell Park, and it had taken the top spot on the list of fun things to do in town. The whole family had gone to the rink the weekend before we met, and on this cold December Saturday, the Kamal kids, Julia and I, left the parents at home and headed back for another visit.
Do you want to skate?
Yeah.
What size?
Six.
Eight.
You?
Eight. Yeah, eight.
After the walk from the car and the line for the skates, our fingers were already getting numb.
I feel so freezing and yeah, I'm nervous.
Shafita had fallen the week before and was hoping there wouldn't be a repeat. We all put on our skates and made our way for the ice.
All right, let's go.
We all skated together for a while, and then Julia and I broke off from the kids so they could enjoy the rink for themselves. While only his second time on ice, Roshan used to rollerblade back in Malaysia, and his skills carried over. He alternated between skating quick laps around the rink and skating with and teaching his siblings. Ice crystals had been shimmering beneath the few clouds in the sky, and after one particular lap, we met the Kamal kids by the wall.
I saw snow just now, there, and just like 5 seconds, and it stopped again. I was looking for it again, yeah. He seen it first, and then he showed me.
Last minute, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
What did it look like?
It's so small. Yeah.
As the Kamals were finishing up for the day, Shafita spotted Dede from City Slickers and three of his siblings at the rink. They're all from Haiti. After a round of hellos and much debate, Dede and a brother put on some skates for the first time and joined the crowd on the ice.
Caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Shafita and her friends see Hartford in a way that longtime residents can't. For her father, who walks to the library every day to read detective fiction, and the rest of her family, it's a place of refuge. Personally, the next time I'm complaining about snow, I'm going to remember that to Shafita, snow is the name of the cat she left behind and the things she can't wait to see more of in her first New England winter. For an interactive map with photos from our interviews around Mazzucato's Bakery, visit radiusproject.org. There you can hear our other episodes centered around Keeney Park, Mount Olive Church, Park Street, and the riverfront. I'm Julia Pastel.
And I'm Jamil Ragland. Our podcast is also produced by Jay Holt and Katie Tolarski. Thanks to Heather Brandon, Beth Messina, Shayna Sirik, Rob Gabbery, Ryan Karen King, Charlie Smart, and John Dankowski.
Radius is made possible by the Greater Hartford Arts Council and the City of Hartford Arts and Heritage Jobs Grant. Tang Sauce produced our theme music. For more info, go to radiusproject.org.
I met my wife because I used to go to St. Augustine's, and I was an altar boy at the old St. Patrick's. Well, now it's St. Patrick's, St. Anthony. And when I moved here and went to St. Augustine's, and I was an altar boy there. And I used to look around and different people, because I was going to school at night, to college. I couldn't go out most of the time. The only time I could go out was Sunday. And I met this young lady. She was from Italy.
my wife, current wife, and she was walking to St. Augustine's, and I tried to find out who her friends were. And then they used to go to CYO at St. Augustine's School in the basement. And one day she was looking for her friends, and I rang up in my car and says, I know where they are. They're at Goodwin Park, Toboggany. I said, you want me to take you there? She says, no, no, I'll walk. I said, you know how far that is from down here all the way up here? And so she finally got in. She held on to the handle in the passenger side with two hands. I didn't touch her. So I get up to the park. She gets out of the car, and all my friends are there, guys and ladies. Hey, Murata, your girlfriend's here. I go, I don't have a girlfriend. She says, well, you so you try to date me, and you got a girlfriend, you know? And so that made me a setback. Maybe it took me 6 more months of going to church when she went to church, follow her around, right? But then I got to meet her family, and they were real immigrants from Italy, my wife's father. Oh, my God. When I took her out on Sunday, I had to take her sister, her, and another, at least one more chaperone, sometimes two. And then when I brought her back, I had to bring them to her house to drop her off. What I used to do on Sunday was a great time. The State Theater, down across from where the D&D Market was on Windsor and Village Street, there was a State Theater, and they used to have live performers, Frank Sinatra and everything. And so I said, Pop, when I take 4 people, like, we're only supposed to pay for 2. Now I'm taking 4, I got to pay for 4 or 5. Look how much money. That's what you pick. That's what you get. You want to take her out? And that'd be Sunday afternoons, and I had to get her back before it got dark. And I had to show them the chaperones before and after. And at least that'd be 2 or 3. I said, why can't I just take 1? No, I have to pay the State Theater tickets and buy 4 or 5 tickets instead of 2 tickets. Come on. Give me a break.